There's another interesting reading where man had two sons. One said he would do the father's will, then didn't, and the other said he wouldn't do the father's will, thought better of it, and then came back and did the father's will. And the question was, well, which in fact obeyed the father? So I bring that up because this sits right in the middle of those two, this parable. Very important parable, because it starts out with, very simply, a simple statement. The kingdom of heaven is like. Well, if you just stop there for a moment, the kingdom of heaven is like everybody sitting around arguing about how much they got paid. Probably there's a contrast here. And what the Lord is saying is the kingdom of heaven can be found in this story, and so can man's story about how we treat one another. So really there's two central themes. Theme number one, God in his benevolence allows us to be saved, desires our salvation, and gives ultimately and completely and absolutely without reservation himself for us. He is the good vineyard, or the good vineyard master, and he offers to each and every person, irrespective of their efforts and works, irrespective of their beginning in faith, that provided they come to see God's benevolence for what it is, he will in fact provide saving grace to each and every human person. And we praise God for that. And the second theme, however, is very real for today. Well, both are real, but this one now touches us in our material world. And that is, this gospel talks about the day laborer, the man and the woman who must wait for work each and every day. So we're going to take a look at this gospel very shortly. I promise not to be excessively long. Excessively. So we'll take two perspectives. One is, what is the kingdom of God really like? Because clearly the parable says this parable is about the kingdom of God. So we're going to pull that out of the gospel reading. And then secondarily, we're going to ask ourselves the question, since God calls us in the image and likeness of himself, how are we doing? Personally, socially, whatever, but how are we doing? Let's try it out, see how we do. Number one, kingdom activity. God is in the marketplace. Clearly, we should take from this reading that whatever our situation from a labor perspective, from our ability to pay our bills, from our ability to feed our family, that God is there at the 6 a.m. hour, the 9 a.m. hour, the noon hour, the 3 o'clock, the 5 o'clock, the 6 o'clock. And he would continue on if necessary, but I think we get the point. And the point is that God is always present in the marketplace. He's there with you at work. He's there with you looking for work. He's there with you wondering whether you'll ever find work. God is always with you in the marketplace, leading you toward virtue, leading you toward himself. And in all things and in all difficulties, he is with you there. That is a primary theme of this parable. God is with us. Number two, the kingdom of heaven is like generosity. In fact, he goes further and he says, justice can only be defined by generosity. In the workplace, where we are, generosity worker to worker, generosity worker to those who that they're subject to, meaning the owners, generosity of the owner to the worker. In all those relationships, they must be defined by generosity in this day, in this age, in this time, and in this town. God demands of us that we be generous if we are to understand divine justice, if we want divine justice. He asks us to reorient our thinking to precisely this. Do not challenge God's desire to be generous to you. And do not fight the urge to be generous to others, because you are made in God's image. You are made to be generous to one another, and we fall sometimes on that. But this is a central theme. Being a day worker is a very difficult thing. Let me tell you something about my father. My father was a night worker, not a day worker, but it was the same situation. He would leave home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, drive 50 miles into New York City, sign into a board, and wait, and hope on that day he would have work. Sometimes we get work right away, work through the night, get back in his car, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, drive an hour back home, and that was his day, and that was his daily wage. And then sometimes he went in and he waited and he waited and he waited and there was no work to be found. So when we read this gospel about the day laborer, for me, very personally, I know that story. Because in the morning when I got up to run my little paper out, you know, as little boys would do, if Dad was home before I got started, that was a bad night. But if Dad came home after I delivered my little newspaper out, I knew that was a good night. I only knew by his disposition. I didn't know why, of course, till much later. We are, in fact, day laborers, most all of us. In fact, even more so now. The kingdom of heaven requires that employment have rules. Summon the men, he said to his foreman, and give them their wages. That comes directly from the book of Deuteronomy in the Hebrew scripture. You shall not defraud a poor or needy hired servant, whether he be one of your own countrymen or one of the aliens who lives in your community. You shall pay him each day's wage before the sun of that day sets, since he is poor and looks forward to them. Otherwise, he will cry to the Lord against you, and you will be held guilty. Pretty strong words. Employment requires some rules of engagement. Covenantal rules, because the relationship is not balanced, and we know that. Those who have authority and power and wealth and those who work for a day wage, the metric is not exactly even. There needs to be generosity in that justice. But in this day, in this age, we still have a problem with just wages. Let me run off a few for you, right? Short clocking, if you've ever heard of it, where they fail to record hours on behalf of an employee, and perhaps an employee has a seventh grade education, and so hasn't necessarily mastered skills and abilities to keep track properly of their hours so they know their wages and their taxation rates and their FICA and so forth, right? Those are real problems today. Preparation time, failure to pay, overtime, cheating employees of that. This happens, these things really happen. I'm not throwing that out as something to condemn all. Don't go there. What we're talking about is learning how to be just and generous. But first we have to learn how not to avoid even the appearance of justice. We must move ourselves toward that. And this is just a reflection on moving in that direction, all of us. You see, we're all landowners. We're all vineyard makers, just in different contexts. People come in and out of my life and out of your life at the 5 o'clock hour all the time. If you choose to think of them, you'll find them. And when you find them, you can ask yourself the question, am I generous in justice? I think one of the most difficult things I see in employment right now is bizarre scheduling for part-time workers, where they're given less than full-time hours, and yet they're given structured hours in such a way they're unable to find a second job that would match or counterbalance the hours being done to the primary employer. And I ask you this question, where is the generosity in that? Okay, you don't need that person all the time, I understand that. But shouldn't the hours be structured in such a way that they can find gainful employment? It might be a case that we're not familiar with Catholic social justice, so maybe we'll spend a minute on that. In any event, paying below a prevailing wage. By gospel tradition, by Hebrew tradition, a wage should support the maintenance of a family. Let me repeat that. Catholic social justice says a wage must support the maintenance support of an entire family at the rate of. Is that what we're doing? You may be supervisors, you may be managers, you may be an employee, you may be an owner. I'm asking this question of all of us, for the people who are in the 5 o'clock hour of our lives. And there certainly are plenty. New words are coming into our language. Permanent temporary employees. How's that for a new title? Full-time, part-time employees, that's someone who all the time is part-time and will never see benefits as other employees see because they're full-time, part-time. And then you have part-time, full-time workers. Those are folks that can do nothing more given the current economic situation where they're working part-time as often as they can. This is a real issue in our country. It's a real issue in Boynton Beach. These things are okay of themselves, unless they're happening as a result of the race to the bottom. You see, an economy that only motivates and thinks in terms of lowering the cost of production to smaller and smaller and smaller increments, irrespective of the people to which they serve, is self-destructive. And the church asks us to pull back from that and to not engage in an economic structure system that destroys the very families of which it serves. A day's wage is an ancient covenantal agreement on the wisdom of valuing the person and providing recognition of their full needs as a person, as a family, and as society, and rather than a simple mechanical rate of pay driven by a simple mathematic computation. We are not to be slaves in an economic system. We are, in fact, to have an economic system that serves people. Vatican Council says this. It's not so much that people should be having more, but people should be being more. We need to be more humane. We need to be more ourselves in our economic life so that our families can grow. My house is worth half of what it was a year ago. But you know why that makes me happy? Because some of these families out here that I see, I want those children to be able to afford a home. And I don't really care that my house dropped half in value. Not at this moment. It's a painful thing, I get that. But it's less painful than the joy of knowing that these families will grow and create children, beautiful families, and come back to this parish and worship. We need to reorder our priorities to that which affects all of us, generosity in our justice. Generosity in our justice. God calls for that. Deuteronomy, the ancient Hebrew text, calls for that. I sometimes have a case of this. I got mine the heck with you. I think I've done that a few times myself. And I have to pull myself back from it. It's easy to do. It's instinctive. And it's not what we're called to do. Work predates sin. Adam and Eve worked in the garden. The garden was a place of activity to build up the natural environment and create a beautiful place for human beings to live. Work became difficult after sin, but before that, it was an act of pure joy. And so, we just need to be creative. If anybody feels beat up right now, stop. Just stop. This is a place of love. This is a place of honest exchange. In this place, at this hour, we're to be doing one thing, allowing our conscience to be open to the Word of God. My goodness, we've asked God to forgive us. We praise the Lord. We are here now to set aside the things that separate us from God and ask Him this essential question. Lord, am I just? Am I generous in the way that you define a man's life should be, a woman's life should be? Let me honestly ask that question here and now so that I can leave this place thinking about the world and those I work with and work for in the way that God thinks of them, in the way He forgives them, in the way He sees the value, the intrinsic value of their life. Because to not do that is to have a simply chaotic, self-interested society that will destroy itself, and it certainly isn't Christian. Some positive things. El Sol in Jupiter, Florida, is an organization that builds out a day work center where people come to find work. And when they can't find work and they're waiting idly, they take English classes, they take computer classes, they learn how to take care of their family finances and so forth, right? A very beautiful and wonderful way to support the day labor. They have that up in Jupiter. They're talking about building one in here in Lake Worth. The difficulty? It's very difficult for the commissioners of Lake Worth to agree to that when nobody in Lake Worth is saying, yeah, it's a good idea. People in Boynton Beach are saying that, Delray Beach. People north of there are saying that. We don't have enough people in Lake Worth to say, Lord, the generosity of your justice requires that we look to day laborers, the blessed day laborers. My own dad, to have a place to find work and safely increase their skills and their ability to deal with this modern society. So we have an opportunity to help with that. Inside your own organizations, work with your HR group. Have the Holy Spirit inspire you to think of the things in your world that you can make different. There are plenty of people hurting. If a black male professional is consistently earning 20% of his counterparts, and he presents himself to be hired on my staff, what should I do? Should I allow his bid 20% less than everybody else to rule my day? Even my company knows that's insane. Even my company would say to me, Jerry, the job is worth this. He's underbidding. He's underbidding because historically he's had to underbid in order to find employment, and this is an opportunity to wipe that out, that injustice, that social injustice, and wipe it out. And my employer would agree with that. If you have 10 people working for you, 5 women, 5 men, all 5 women earn less. That's what this gospel reading is about today. Not the envy of one another, the equality of one another. If we want to experience justice, we have to at least participate in the justice of God as He defines it, as God defines it, not me, Him. I don't want you to be afraid, and I certainly want you to be scandalized. And don't report me to the boss. It's my first homily. But I really believe this. I've read this scripture for over a year, over and over again, and asking the Lord, what is it you want me to say? I've thrown away 20 homilies. But as I opened up the newspaper every day this week and I saw that 15.8% of us are under the poverty line, I see that young black men are the highest unemployment in the nation, I see that South Boynton Beach is in complete disarray, and who is reaching out to these day laborers? Who's reaching out to people and saying, the church cares about you? Church social teaching says this. Every economic activity, every business, every enterprise must be subject to the welfare of the people to which it serves, including the church. I, for one, do not intend to continue to live a life where I ignore the needs of others, not that we all do that on a consistent basis, but I'm trying to make a strong statement. Church must mean something, and it must mean this: generosity and justice. In just a moment, we're going to experience the greatest generosity known to humankind, the self-giving of God on the cross so that we can be saved. And He's asking us to mirror that behavior in our own day, in our own time, in our own place. This is our place. And this is our time, and we have the opportunity to do that. God bless you.